According to the Cleveland Rape Crisis Center, 1 in 4 college-aged women will be the victim of sexual assault during her academic career. The United States Department of Justice estimates that almost 25% of college women have been victims of rape or attempted rape since the age of 14. According to the White House Council on Women and Girls, only 13% of students who are sexually assaulted report the crime to authorities. Also, according to Justice Department statistics, only 32% of rapes are reported to the police. The New York State Campus Crime Database shows that Ithaca College had 10 reported forcible sex offenses between 2009 and 2013. The National Rape Aggression Defense Program, or RAD, was designed to combat these statistics. According to the RAD website, RAD, quote, balances the needs of women to acquire self-defense education in a relatively short period of time, with the lifelong commitment required for physical mastery, end quote. The RAD program has trained more than 900,000 women since the program began in 1989.
Now, the program is returning to Ithaca College after a hiatus following the launch of the college's Sexual Harassment and Assault Response and Education Program, or SHARE, in fall 2014. This summer's incoming students will be the first to receive a required orientation session on sexual harassment and assault prevention since the launch of SHARE. According to the Ithaca College website, the training includes interactive discussion around sexual violence, consent, crime reporting and disclosure, confidential, private, and third-party reporting, victims' rights, bystander intervention, and multiple prevention strategies. Here to discuss the RAD program at IC is Andrew Kucinich, one of the coordinators of the program. Andrew is the Crime Prevention and Community Events Liaison in the Department of Public Safety and Emergency Management. Thanks for being here, Andrew.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So to start out, would you be able to explain more about your position in public safety and your general involvement in this issue?
Absolutely. Well, crime prevention and community events liaison, it's pretty much a long-winded way of saying that I do a lot of our community engagement, community outreach, educational initiatives, training programs for students, things along those lines. So obviously, with some of the figures and legislation and such that you were just talking about, one of our biggest hot-button topics that we really need to tackle on the Ithaca College campus is issues related to sexual violence. And that's where some of those SHARE initiatives come in. And then the RAD program that we're implementing is just one supplementary piece to help us work towards those goals. And with my responsibilities for connecting to and educating the community, I have a central place in that.
And so can you tell us more about the types of consent and sexual assault education that are currently offered at Ithaca College through the SHARE program?
Sure. Well, like you mentioned, every incoming student now, through their orientation program, it's one of the very first sessions that they get when they arrive for orientation at IC, and I think that's important. It shows the priority that's being placed on that topic and that we want to make sure it's emphasized as one of the first things that they're hearing about. When you see the statistics, that the 1 in 4 or 1 in 5 figures around people experiencing some kind of sexual violence at Ithaca at colleges nationally, it drives home that point that people need some understanding, I think, of how to interact with each other in safe and healthy ways, recognizing that people don't just have a responsibility for protecting themselves from these kinds of things, but rather we have a shared community responsibility. How are we all going to make our contributions to promoting a safe campus where that's not part of people's experience at IC or anywhere else that they pursue education?
So the orientation season is just starting to wrap up this summer. Were you involved with any of the trainings that happened at orientations?
I was. So the SHARE session that all of the students get, basically there's 3 components to it. And I co-present in that session along with our Chief of Police, Terry Stewart, and Tiffany Zeman, who's the Title IX coordinator for Ithaca College. So Chief Stewart talks a lot about basically the college's obligations, the Clery Act, Title IX, the Violence Against Women Act, all place a lot of guidelines on colleges as far as needing to track crime, report crime, make sure it's publicized to prospective and current students. And she speaks about how the college works on meeting some of those expectations. Tiffany Zeman, as the Title IX coordinator, really emphasizes the support that's available to students. So in terms of if they or somebody they know experiences something like this, who can they talk to about it? What kind of resources and accommodations is the college going to offer? And what kind of ongoing support can they expect, particularly with an emphasis on empowering them to make the choices that drive that support and that ongoing interaction is to the extent that the student does or does not want that to happen. And then the last piece is a bystander intervention portion, and that's the piece that I present on. As you kind of mentioned, there really needs to be a well-rounded, comprehensive approach to this topic. Any one philosophy or one type of program isn't going to be sufficient. So bystander intervention, along with the self-defense piece with RAD, and also the resource education and more, is part of that. And I emphasize basically with the incoming students the idea of what kind of values do we want to have as an institution, what kind of culture do we want to have here, and do we want people to feel safe and healthy and happy in their time at IC? And if the answer to that hopefully is yes, then what are we going to do to look out for each other and promote that kind of environment?
So since every incoming student receives this share presentation, how does the RAD program then come into that? Is that also a mandatory thing, or are they encouraged to sign up for that?
Mm-hmm. RAD is not a mandatory program. It's supplementary for people who are interested in self-defense, basically as one piece of what they think would be important to their education around the topic. To some people, they really want to get connected to the dialogue around the issue and be engaged in campus activism. To other people, something like being an ally and a bystander intervention focus is what they really connect with. To other people, the idea of the physical empowerment of a self-defense program really hits home for them. So I think you want to have those diverse offerings where everybody can find something that feels best for them in terms of how they're going to be part of this topic. And offering the RAD program, I think, is one piece of that. And we're very much looking forward to it and seeing how it expands and grows and really becomes integral to our efforts in that area.
Since the required orientation training is happening for the first time this summer, that means that most of the students at Ithaca College next semester will not have received training. So what will be done to educate those who have not had this requirement on issues of sexual assault and consent?
One of our big partnerships and something that's really been an invaluable resource is our connection with the Advocacy Center, which is a community resource in Ithaca. They partner with us a lot of times for on-campus presentations, or they serve as advisors to a lot of our staff training that IC personnel receive in these areas. So they've been big in terms of coming in and doing presentations, since, as you said, if you catch people only at orientation, well, you've got 9 months that follow that, and what are you doing with that time, and what are you doing with the people who didn't have that as part of their orientation experience? So right now we have a variety of presentations that we collaborate with for them. We're implementing a peer educators program around bystander intervention. It's a topic I think sometimes people don't want to hear from a staff member about some of these things, or have somebody come in as sort of a representative of the institution, and that's who they discuss these topics with. It's much more interesting and open and accessible to talk to a student peer about that. So we have a program now where we're training students to be the facilitators of those conversations and have those programs available by request, looking for opportunities to get connected in the classroom, have professors hopefully be open to the idea of public safety staff or other speakers coming in and sharing with their classes and opening up some dialogue in the classroom, or participating in the IC seminars that students are now having. All sorts of different ways to approach it, and we're hoping to find more and more partnerships within the campus and within the community and use those inroads to broaden the dialogue.
And you mentioned the role of public safety officers in the staff training. What types of training are these public safety officers required to have in order to handle cases of rape and sexual assault?
Well, a lot of it stems back to Title IX and the expectations that that legislation puts on staff in terms of when they meet with a student who's reporting something to them, what kind of conversations are they going to have with them? Are they going to do a good job of making sure that that student is aware of the resources that the campus and the surrounding community offer? Are they going to present a welcoming presence, somebody who is not emphasizing questions of, well, what did you do to stop this? Or do you feel like you did anything that was a contributing factor? Or could you have done anything different? Making sure that officers and anybody else who's going to be a part of this conversation recognizes that those kinds of conversations and questions and things that have those elements of potential victim blaming are not things that we're going to do at Ithaca College. It's not an acceptable way to promote that dialogue or to interact with somebody who's placing their trust in you when they report that something like this happened to them or somebody that they know. So they receive that training, from a variety of off-campus partners or different specialists come in and present in their areas of expertise, and then obviously on a baseline level, making sure that we're in compliance with all of the new and expanding legislation around the topic.
So is that training required?
Yes, yes. Any officer needs to undergo that kind of training. And it's not just applicable to issues related to sexual violence, but just the general customer service philosophy and the differences involved with being an officer in a college campus environment. That's not the same as being an officer in a municipal setting. The types of people that you deal with, the goals of your interactions, and the types of situations you encounter are all different. So we need to make sure officers are well-trained on what it means, the obligations and responsibilities and opportunities involved with being an educator working in a college setting.
So when RAD was announced to the college community, there was some criticism from students. And one student in particular, Kyle James, is the incoming vice president of academic affairs for the Student Government Association, wrote a long response to the announcement. He had several concerns, including the responsibility of sexual assault prevention being placed on the victim. Mm-hmm. And in that response to the announcement, he said, quote, "It promotes a reactive culture treating the consequences of an issue instead of promoting a preemptive culture getting to the root of the actual problem." What is your response, or what are your thoughts on this?
Well, we actually really valued seeing that feedback. I understand the comments exactly that you're talking to, and we also had some other communications that we got from students and faculty on the topic, and it was actually awesome to see that passionate feedback, and the questions that people raised were completely valid. I think what's important to understand is that if any college or university were to offer something like RAD or any other self-defense program as their sole response to issues of sexual violence on a campus, that would be hugely inappropriate and totally inadequate. It does exactly what was described there. It makes a person feel isolated, makes it feel like an individual burden on a person. It's your job to be shouldered alone to keep yourself from being attacked. And that's not in any way an appropriate message to convey to people. So that's why I think something like RAD or a self-defense education program, it has to be one complementary piece of a broader, more comprehensive program. And that's where we bring in the things, the making sure that students are aware of SHARE resources, the bystander intervention programs. And then I think maybe most important of all is tackling some of the root causes that contribute to people treating each other in these ways. So when you start to have the conversations about rape culture and gender norms and issues related to media and the representations of gender relations in those areas, what are the things that are making people feel that it's appropriate to pursue their relationships and interactions with each other in these ways? Basically, if you were to just take only a bystander approach or only a self-defense approach, you could go around forever putting out one fire after another, dealing with one potential incident of sexual violence after another, and you could be successful in every case, but you'd be trapped in that loop continually going forward. Only if you start to have some of that dialogue around root causes and tackling the issues of, as I said, hypermasculinity, gender norming, rape culture, and getting at those root causes, that's the path to some long-term success. Everything else is just a supplementary piece.
Another question that came up a lot among the students' response was, why was the program specifically aimed at women? Mm-hmm. And in response, the college did point out that they pointed to RAD's National Program Manual, which specifically addresses that question, why just women? And their response has to deal with concern around participant safety and comfort. And the manual says, "Women who enroll in our basic programs often do so because they feel vulnerable. Some of them are survivors of previous assault or rape and come to us seeking information that may help them in avoiding the nightmare they've already survived." And then on this topic, another concern that was raised, also by Kyle, but a few others, was the high assault rates among the LGBTQ community, particularly those who are transgender. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that it did say the RAD program will welcome people who identify as women, but that doesn't necessarily encompass all transgender students. So are there any plans for similar programs that will target that demographic specifically?
We do have some plans for expansion, or we hope to have some expansion. The first thing to note about RAD is that their basic course for women is the first program, the first curriculum that they created, and it is still their largest and most popular. It's the one that we're going to initially implement at IC. But they do offer a variety of other programs. They went on to develop a male-focused program, programs for youth, programs for senior citizens. Depending on interest level and opportunity, we're hoping to maybe tap into some of those opportunities to expand in the future, offer programs to broader audiences. But in terms of the short term, you're absolutely right. What are we going to do to make sure that everybody who's interested in this kind of training is accessible, finds that training to be accessible, and that it's inclusive in the ways that it needs to be. I think the answer is that we can take components of self-defense education, including some of what RAD teaches, and bring that to other audiences in other kinds of self-defense instruction. You know, RAD does have copyrights and so forth on their curriculum. They limit what somebody can present and still call it RAD, and one of those guidelines is that you, if you utilize our curriculum, it needs to be limited to people who identify as female. But that's not to say that we can't present other self-defense programs, both proactively and by request, make them accessible to broader audiences, or still utilize targeted audiences, but make them for a variety of different targeted audiences such that we tap into different parts of the campus community. So while RAD has certainly some demographic limitations, I think it's going to be a really valuable piece. But as far as self-defense opportunities and initiatives, it may be just one piece, and we might see, hopefully do see, growth in the future.
So RAD was offered previously at Ithaca College, and now it's being reinstated. Can you tell us more why it was removed in the first place?
Not so much removed as interest from the campus community kind of waned. It's a topic I think that ebbs and flows, certainly, and right now with the national focus on these topics, I think it was just such a beautiful opportunity to bring back a program that I think always had value, but now that we see sort of a re-sparked interest and a desire to participate and get that kind of education. So yes, it's a program that was here before. We're happy to have it back again, and hopefully it's a success and continues to grow going forward.
Great. Well, thank you so much. We're out of time, Andrew, but thank you for joining us today in the studio.
Thank you. I really appreciate your time.